Knutineering, Part 18. Welcome back to Knutineering, where the possible is made more difficult by boneheaded ignorance, overenthusiasm and pointy metal things being brought together. You may want to refresh your memory on the project in Part 1, Part 2, Part 3, Part 4, Part 5, Part 6, Part 7, Part 8, Part 9, Part 10, Part 11, Part 12D, Part 13, Part 14, Part 15, Part 16, Part 17. Design goals. Fast as possible on off-road, too big to have on roads. I will set a target speed of 50 miles per hour. 4WD. Must be able to reverse and brake. Unbreakable, or as close to. Must be able to mount GoPro or similar camera on it. Cheap as possible. We left the last episode of Knutineering at the exciting point of rebuilding the gearbox, but in what I thought were forever positions, everything cut to size, gear changer proof of concept built and installed and mostly working. During the testing though, the gears are pressed too hard against each other, so are rubbing on the shafts and not turning freely. I have no idea if I mismeasured, mismachined or just got something else wrong, but the solution is just to move the shafts a little bit further apart. Buoyed by the success of the cling film condom I used previously, I took the gearbox apart, shedding but one manly tear for the wasted threadlock, but thankful I had used medium strength, not heavy duty. Filed, taped and with the bearing wrapped safely in cling film, we are ready to go. A cocktail stick in there to push the bearing in the direction I want it to be and hold it there, and we are off for some more, waiting for the glue to harden before I can see if I have moved the bearings enough. Which will mean putting the gearbox back together underscore again underscore. The resin off been crazin'. Whilst returning to my favorite pastime, waiting for parts, in this case the Vro board and 2x20 connector, I rework my Pi code so it can be integrated into the Raspivid app. While doing so, I realize that in order to get the RPM sensors correctly aligned, I would need a test app. The idea is that I put a reflective strip on whatever is rotating, and that is what I use to bounce the laser back into the sensor. I already know that this works, but I am going to have to encase the electronics in some sort of rigid manner, probably epoxy, to hold them together as the car is in motion. The sensor has two little metal pins coming out of it that can be bent to adjust, but I need to have a way to see the pi, as noting that the laser is hitting the sensor, angles of incidence and reflection and all that. I can't just spin the engine over and hope that the sensor is aligned correctly. So here is the code for the test harness. Sensor and sensorabilities. Fairly straightforward stuff, if it is not, then learn to code. One thing I also need to check is what sort of range is viable from the sensor to the reflective pad. Using my state-of-the-art calibration tools, I determine that from 0 to 5 cm the sensor is rock solid, at 5 to 10 cm it is a little flaky, and at about 13 cm it stops working so well. Useful info to have. Home on a range. I am pretty much done with the telemetry and measuring aside from fitting it to the car, and once the Vro board and 40-pin socket arrive, I can take the unit apart and fit everything back into place. Yet more disassembly, reassembly to be getting on with, but I hope it is not as many times as the gearbox. Looking at the Pi specs and reading online, the Pi is not well suited to capturing sound. While it would be nice to hear the throaty roar of the G2D Zenoa engine at full pelt as I coast at 65 miles per hour on rough terrain, it looks like the processing overhead and hardware ask is going to be too high. On the subject of which, now that the gearbox is fully sorted out, I can underscore finally underscore put it onto the chassis and mark R where stuff is about to go. Starting from the rear of the car, as the front is kind of designed but not really finalized. There still remains too much faffing with the steering still to be done, which I can't really do until the bottom and top frames of the chassis are built and I can work out just how far apart they need to be. First things first, I need to get something to hang the bottom suspension arms off. I am thinking a fixed, welded or bolted, central block, and two removable front and rear pieces that will hold the shafts for the suspension arms. Rear assembly. Here I have included the differential gearbox that will feed the drive shafts to the wheel hubs. It is about a 15 cm gap in there, which is a bit of a worry, and the 7 mm sockets will need supporting when fitted to the drive cups that come out of the sides of the differential. That is going to be interesting as the support will be right over the central suspension arm block. Another for the darn pile. It does mean though that I can finally place the engine block on the chassis frame and mark how far forward the front plate of the gearbox is, with the first accurate measurement of where that is. Some fans are on the pitch, etc. A reminder to myself that the Roven car is 81 cm long, 52 cm wide with a 55 cm wheelbase. Stats for the HPI Baja, the Rolls-Royce of the 1/5 RC car world. Length 817 mm, 32.2 in. Width. Front, 460 mm, 18.1 in. Rear 480 mm, 18.9 in. Height 5.20 in, 132.1 mm. Axle track. Front, 395 mm, 15.6 in. Rear 400 mm, 15.7 in. Wheelbase 570 mm, 22.4 in. Weight 9.6 kg, 21.2 pounds. At the moment I am looking at these stats for the Knutmobile. Length 770 mm. Width. Front, 620 mm. Rear 620 mm. Height still unmeasurable. Axle track. Front, 550 mm. Rear 550 mm, 15.7 in. Wheelbase still unmeasurable. Weight I don't even want to think about it. Sharpie marks the end of the gearbox on the chassis. At this stage I am really not sure whether to have the long pieces above or below the bottom chassis. In the above pick, they are above, but that is mostly for convenience. Having them below is better as the weight of the car just pushes them together and onto the wheels, so they will just need bolting together to keep them where they should be. They won't be in the way of the diffs, which is also a bonus. They do, however, break up the line underneath, so will be prime targets to be ripped off when I am going over rough ground unless I put some kind of plating over them. If I put them above, then the bolts, welds will have to bear the weight and momentum of the car as well. For now though, this is the tarn. I get to cut some metal, front and rear long pieces plus four central blocks that will be brazed together. W axle blocks. In the above exciting action shot, I have cut and marked the places where I need to drill holes. I have found that to reduce drill skitter, put a massive big pilot dent in the aluminium. Start off with a 2 mm drill and then go to the 6 mm drill. I have some other holes to drill, so to prevent confusion in the heat of construction, each hole is marked with a 6, so I know it has to be 6 mm. The central pick shows how I have bolted the two blocks together prior to brazing. This holds them nice and still, and the braze goes mostly well apart from not noticing that the other block was too close to where I was brazing. With my attention focused on the braze, I failed to see the flame was busy melting the other block. Not too badly damaged, I hope. They did polish up nicely, anyway. Ooh, shiny. For some reason, having the two flats together seems to be quite an easy weld to make. Not so much for the 45-degree joints I need at the back. Like something is trying to get out. Still, I managed to get the three pieces all together in the end, and the mess of the weld can always be angled ground down and filed to niceness. Messy. TSK. This being Knutmobile, however, something inevitably goes wrong and here we have it. Tears and I told you so's. Just in time for the gas to run out for my brazing torch. About now MBWK is getting the dog with me faffing about with the car stuff at the weekends when there's other stuff I should be doing, so a little hiatus is needed to restore some familial harmony. Every now and then a little doubt creeps in on the viability of this. I have lost count of the hours spent learning how to do things, designing and redesigning things, and I daren't think of the sunk cost so far, probably about 600-700 quid so far. I could have bought a brand new CCP knockoff for that where everything works, fits properly, and the engine is properly tuned for a fast car. Dejectedly I retire to the comfort of the sofa and El Wolfador comes over with his boundless enthusiasm which never fails to cheer. Will I ever finish this bloody car? I am tired of reiteratively building and rebuilding the gearbox, tired of not having the right tools and tired of the project at the minute. I'm tired of having to tidy everything away and hope I file the parts in a box I can easily remember and find again, and get it out again each time I do some work, of having no cheerleader celebrating the minor victories or commiserating when things go wrong. The iterative see if this works then build properly model is taxing on the enthusiasm as a proof of concept moves to a final piece but where all the fun is stripped out. The Vroboard arrives and then a day later the 40-pin sockets. Vero? Is it me you're looking for? Vroboards like these have copper tracks on one side, and lots of holes to poke wires and legs of components through so you can then solder them to the tracks and make the connections. Not as good at soldering as I thought I was, the gas soldering iron I have is good but it vents heat out the sides. Hot enough to burn the copper track off the Vroboard. One more tick on the fail column. Okay on the left, fail on the right. I use the AVU to test that I have not inadvertently tracked solder between the pins, and verify that the pins are indeed connected to the track on the left-hand sideboard. I consult my pinout diagram, and verify that the pins I have are indeed the pins the PI thinks they are. The possibility of the pins being transposed and 5V going where it should not will ruin the PI. And then double check with the AVU that pin 1 is indeed pin 1. I discover that my cobbler is not connecting the 3.3V pin to the cable which is news, just as well I have not had cause to use it as yet. More AVU checks and I now have the pull-up resistor soldered to the board as well for the temperature sensor. All wired up. I have gone for a fetching color scheme of red, brown for plus 5V, blue, black for GND. Green for one wire component signals and yellow for bog standard GPIO connectors for the RPM counters. I also added an extra plus 5V, GND / GPIO cable in case I might need it in the future to add another sensor. All sensor cables are sensibly marked with pin number and GPIO number so I don't have to take the unit apart again for some time I hope. Everything is plugged back in again. I fire up the PI and my test harness programs to verify everything still works, temp sensor, RPM sensors and GPS. All systems functioning within normal parameters. 6 hours later it looks the bloody same. But with consistent lead colors. But, over 6 hours to redo the whole telemetry box that was in full working order before I started. 6 hours to effectively make no real progress. It's all so tiresome. Still waiting for long M6 bolts and vibration proof M3, M6 nuts. Still left to do, think about. Sort out the car underside, at the minute it is just a gaping void. Endpoint adjustment for servos and control mechanisms Dumbo RC setup. Siding of brakes. Need to build the brakes as well I think. Finish RPM counters. Siding of RPM counters. Integrate code to read sensors, temperature and RPM into the video capture. Front end siding of servo and steering yoke. Siding of battery and control gear. Pics, vids, words and music copyright Elk Nutador 2021.